hurry!
Welcome to Mom Cave Live, where we may have lost our minds, but we have not lost our sense of humor. And we're live tonight with a very fun guest. I'm going to bring her on. Ta-da. Welcome, Dr. Whitney Casares.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. When I saw the title of your book that's about to come out, I thought that we have to have you to come on right away because I need you. We need you. The title is Doing It All, Stop Overfunctioning and Become the Mom and the Person That You Are Meant to Be. So I think a lot of us can identify with this overfunctioning, the overwhelm. And so I thought we could just talk about that a little tonight. Whitney, just tell me a little bit of what got you into this idea of writing this book, and how do you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So first of all, the reason that I wrote the book, it's not that I was born like the most skilled at being able to juggle all the things and not be stressed out as a mom. Mm-hmm. It's because I kind of earned my stripes the hard way. So I'm actually trained as a pediatrician, went to Stanford, went to Berkeley and got my public health degree in maternal and child health. So book-wise, I kind of knew all the answers as to what parents should be doing and moms specifically to be able to really take care of their kids the best possible, and also what things really influence in a family, how kids don't do well. But then when I had my own daughter, my first daughter, it became much more real. My oldest daughter has autism. She's 10 years old now. And so that push and pull of kind of trying to do work as hard as possible, trying to do life as hard as possible, trying to be a good mom, it just, nothing was by the book. And I had to kind of reimagine what life was. And really, I think the main thing is, and the crux of the book is, reprioritize like what matters the most to me and what matters the most to me as a parent in terms of raising kids that will succeed in life. And by succeed, I do not mean go to Harvard. I mean succeed in terms of like be the type of person people want to be around, like themselves, be able to pay for their own therapy, all that good stuff. So, So the book was born out of all of these challenges and journeys that I went through as myself, as a mom, but then also what I saw all these moms in my clinical practice struggling with too. And so I developed this foundational kind of framework that now I use with moms all across the nation that helps them really to figure out what matters most and how do I spend more time doing that stuff and less time and energy on all the other stuff that doesn't matter in life.
Yeah, because it feels like all those other things take up so much time. And but yet, if we stop overfunctioning and doing it all, who else is going to do it, right? That's how we feel. How do you answer that? Who else is going to do it?
Yeah, totally. Well, okay. To me, there's actually four things that you can do with all the stuff that comes at you as a mom. Okay. Number one, you're going to write it down. Yes. Get some notes.
Come on.
Okay. So number one is you can do it with more efficiency or effectiveness. Mm-hmm. So this is like, as a pediatrician, I have to write notes and I have to write emails, right? So how can I do that without taking up as much time as I need to? How do I create systems? How do I create algorithms? How do I create templates for things, right? So, And that's what a lot of people, when they talk about getting more stuff done on your list, that's where they focus. The problem is those things are great, but if you don't have other strategies as well, you're just going to get everything done faster and easier. And then if you're overfunctioning, you're just going to add more stuff to your list and do it faster and easier and have even more resentment. Yeah,
totally.
So that's I
identify with this statement. So if you have any questions or comments about what Dr. Whitney is talking about, please just pop in the comments because we're watching them and she will answer your questions. That's a really good point you made just there, because for me and for a lot of my friends that are moms, it's like you feel like you're always behind. So if you catch up a little on something, then you're like, but I have all these other things I'm behind on. It doesn't mean catch up and now I'm caught up and I get to relax a little. It means do more things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And sometimes when you're in the rhythm of doing more things all the time, constantly in go, go, go mode as a mom, it actually starts to feel really bad when you're not doing anything. So I don't know if you've noticed that. I definitely see this in other moms, but I see it in myself, that like when there's dead space, then you figure out even more stuff to do.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure that some of that has to do with like sitting and just being with our emotions or whatever's going on in life. You have to like, you don't have the distraction of the busyness. But for me, I'm also very visually stimulated. So if I sit down on the sofa in the middle of my house, I can, it, my eyes will take in 500 things that need to be done. Right. So it's just really, really hard to relax. What kind of ways have you helped moms learn to relax?
Yeah. So I actually think your point about being in your house is totally valid for so many moms. So if you need to get out of your house to be able to get more done, like I do so much better work at a coffee shop. If I'm writing, for example, I really cannot do that very effectively at my house unless I'm editing something I've already written. If I'm trying to be creative, I have to do it not at my home. So I'll go someplace
where I'm going to be less distracted.
Your phone rings. Hi, Eric. I love it.
Yeah, that's my phone rings. So hopefully someone upstairs will get it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So that's one tip. The other thing is to think about what in your actual home environment, what stuff do you need to take away to make it so that you have less that you need to focus on? Like, what do you need to declutter? So actually, that's one of the other strategies you can use in your life is to physically declutter your space and to declutter your calendar. So sometimes as moms, we'll put stuff on our calendar, like it's even like a nail appointment or a hair appointment or a whatever, like in the name of kind of like self-care or doing stuff, or we'll join the volunteer PTA thing because we want to make sure that we're contributing. And some of that stuff is great if it's like on your heart, you care so deeply about the PTA.
Right.
But if you don't, it's okay to take a look at your physical space and at your calendar and say, what are these things do I have here out of guilt or because I feel bad to get rid of it? Like, or I feel obligated. Maybe someone else is telling me I should do it. So that can be a way to really focus in and to have less of that distraction and be able to focus and relax. And then the third thing I would say is practice makes perfect. So if you're someone who's used to running at really high gear all the time, sometimes what you have to do to get yourself into the rhythm of this, and this was true for me, like during the holiday break, for example, you know, I came off a really busy season and then I had to relax. That I would say like, okay, I'm just going to sit here for 30 seconds. I'm going to close my eyes for 30 seconds or be quiet with myself for 30 seconds because that's all I can handle. And then next time I'll make it a minute. Next time, two minutes, 3 minutes. So, you know, don't be afraid if what you really need is like, all I'm going to do is take 5 breaths in my car before I go into my house. That is a great way to practice kind of slowing down and being able to relax more and to be able to be more focused.
Yeah. Yeah. And we often feel guilty when we do that. Like, you know, we don't deserve to take 5 breaths in the car. We have to get out and get those groceries right away. So that's a hard thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually the third thing, right? So a lot of times when we feel guilty for taking some extra time for ourselves, even 5 minutes, I mean, think about totally right. That's a totally common statement that I hear too. And also when you think about that logically, that's ridiculous. If our kids said, if our partner said, I need, you know, I can't take like 5 minutes to myself to relax. You'd be like, that's, humans cannot run without taking 5 minutes to relax. Right. So we don't need to be the super moms, but part of that strategy is about setting boundaries. And one of the most important boundaries to me and the hardest for people, I think, to kind of take on as moms and to hold is a self boundary. A self boundary that's healthy means you're not taking the temperature of other people more than you're taking your own temperature. You're not thinking about other people's needs even more than you're thinking of your own. So being able to kind of put yourself on an even playing field with everybody else's needs to say like, yes, my kids need to eat, but also if I don't eat something right now, I'm going to faint or I'm going to be angry or I'm going to blow up at everybody, you know.
Angry mama is not good.
Right, exactly. Because it always comes out somewhere. Like, that's the thing I'm always reminding moms is that you can deprive yourself forever and ever and ever. And I totally understand that. And there's so many things in society that make it so that we're conditioned to do that and that we're in that place. But in the end, it's going to come out somewhere. It's going to come mm-hmm. out in you being more angry. It's going to come out in a migraine. It's going to come out mm-hmm. in depression, in anxiety. Like, there's that book, you know, The Body Remembers. It's like the body keeps score. It gets stored either emotionally or physically. And then it usually comes out, unfortunately, at like the worst possible time. You know, you break down and you can't go to an important meeting or can't go to your kid's performance or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had a few of those moments actually today.
Yeah.
Confess right now. Yeah. So why do you think, we don't have to get too deep into this, but I'm just curious, why do you think that moms have this problem, it seems like, more than dads?
Yeah. Okay. So I think there's a couple reasons. Yeah. I think there's a couple reasons. One, think about the fact that for generations, I mean, like centuries, eons, that women have been carrying the load of childcare. They have been subservient to men. They haven't been on the same playing field. So we have so much tradition of inequity for moms, where we've been taught basically, I'm not supposed to take up as much space as anybody else. My job is to be a caregiver and a servant. So that's number one. Number two is this idea that we're taught to be pleasing as little girls, that like mm-hmm. a good girl is always polite, that we follow directions, that we're always kind of helping everybody else, that we don't like stick up too much. And unfortunately, that means that once we get into relationships with men in particular, it makes it hard for us sometimes to stand our ground and to say, listen, it deserves to be equal. The next thing is, you know, women have not been in the workplace that long in the same capacity that they have recently been in. So we're in a mm-hmm. totally new era where, you know, women are in CEO positions, in the C-suite, they're running their businesses like I am. And just like one generation ago, you know, my in-laws, my parents, my dad wasn't changing diapers in the same way that my husband is. And so it was, you know, when my kids were little. And mm-hmm. so we just have to remember, I think that these things take time and that they take accountability. So thank goodness there's so much more new information that's come out about the mental load that women are starting to say like, hey, this isn't fair. I'm doing work at work and also at home. But right. just being aware of that and having our heart aware of it isn't going to solve the problem. It has to be that we're constantly talking about it, that when we're with other couples that we're talking about, like, okay, mm-hmm. how do you guys share things? Oh, so-and-so takes the kids to school. Do you do that? You know, I mean, I think there's that. And then in my household, honestly, we've invested in couples therapy. I mean, just to try to kind of get at reality checking, who's mm-hmm. doing what and why and how it makes everybody feel when right. the woman is the one in the household who's taking on every single thing and feeling resentful. Hard to be like in a like couples like romantic relationship when you're feeling kind of like you're getting the really short end of the stick, you know?
Definitely. It's very hard to be romantic if you feel resentful. Yes. Sometimes I realize that it feels like we're doing it all sometimes. And it helps me to think a little bit about the things that actually my partner is doing that I don't even think about. Yeah. You know, like I could care less whether the oil in the car gets changed. And I know that's like stereotypical, but that's like his department and he does that. And I have to sometimes remind myself that when I'm mad because I'm the one that always does the laundry or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So kind of reminding myself too, that it's in a way, I think we're feeling a lot overloaded and it's sort of that all or nothing thinking of like, we just make it so big, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think that's also, so that's the fourth strategy really is like sharing the load with other people. The other thing that I would say is, you know, your partner is not the end all be all for every single thing. Yes, you live in a household with your partner, but if you have kids, you know, and they're old enough, I mean, even kids, pediatrician hat on, even kids as young as two can do chores, right? So getting your kids to help, that really is great. If you have a neighbor that you can swap you know, tasked with. I'm not trying to let men off the hook, but I am saying, like, you know, if you're in a relationship with a man, it might not be that he's able to meet all your needs or that's going to happen overnight. So what can you do in the meantime? You know, not everyone can hire like hired help, you know, to do laundry or to do grocery shopping for you. But for example, for me, sometimes as a CEO of a company, if I could make hundreds of dollars in an hour and I could pay someone $15 to go get the groceries, that does make sense. Actually, like financially, for them to do that in certain seasons. Now, that hasn't always been the case, and I want to be sensitive to lots of different people out there. There's been times where I've eaten lunch at Costco three meals a day to like get by, you know. So it's all good. But if you're like leaning into something career wise, and you need extra help from other people, I think that's a big thing for women, is that we start to feel kind of guilty if we're paying someone else to do like quote unquote our job when. Really, if there's like two working people in the household, makes sense that you might need a third person to help you out with some of these chores.
Yeah. I mean, it takes more than a village. It takes it takes a lot of people to care for a child, right? Dr. Wendy is going to give away a signed copy of the book to somebody who leaves a comment or asks her a question. So go ahead and do that. We have a few more minutes. My problem, and the problem of lots of people here, I think sometimes is knowing what is enough. Like, what is enough to do, right? How do we get to the crux of, like, what are the things we should be doing, and when we can be like, okay, I've got enough on my plate? How do you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, so good question, right? My husband yesterday, he goes, you know, I think you need a hobby. I go, well, I don't think so. I have plenty of stuff that I do. I don't need a hobby. But the way that I figure out what I want to spend my time and my energy on, and this is how I coach other women too. And in the book, we talk about it. Here's a little postcard of how it looks, is to figure out what are the top five things that are a combination of things that give you a lot of energy, that are kind of energy drivers versus energy drainers. Plus that meet your values. And we walk through in great detail exactly how to figure this out. So it sounds more complicated than it is, but it's really not. How to basically just define what are the five areas that if someone said, hey, you have a week, you could do whatever you want with this time, where would you spend your time, your energy, your focus? And so I really help people to define those things first. I call them the center points in your centered vision. And then outside of that, is where you place all this other junk that has to get done. The dishes don't live in the middle of my centered vision. I don't care one thing about the dishes. They have to get done, but I'm not going to spend all day making sure that they're perfectly aligned in my cabinet, right? I do care a ton about contributing to other women. So when there's a request on my time to do that, for example, right now, I'm almost always going to say yes, because that's in full alignment with my values and things that I love to do and that make me feel really good. I'm almost always going to say yes to really deep connections with my kids. That doesn't mean that I'm going to spend every waking moment with them, because me spending 24/7 with them is not great. I mean, I'm going to invest in those moments that feel like we're reading together, we're cuddling on a couch, we're really like I'm listening to them. Those times where we feel like, okay, they're asking for my attention because they're having a problem with a friend. So, that's how I help people to define kind of like, what are the things that you feel are really meaningful in your life? How do we give more of you to those things?
Yes, yes. And as trite as it sounds, I like to think of the deathbed. On your deathbed, are you going to care that the dishes were always done? Are you going to care that you spent that quality time?
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not here as experts. We're having this conversation because we're trying to figure it out too. And Dr. Whitney is further along in that than I am, for sure. but tell everybody where they can find out more about you and your work. And
Okay. So my website is called Modern Mommy Doc. We have a weekly blog that goes out. There's a weekly podcast or bi-weekly podcast that goes out. So I have lots of cool guests that come on there. I have three books. One is about newborns. One is about working moms with the American Academy of Pediatrics. And then this new book that's coming out, Doing It All. It's out January 30th. It's available wherever books are sold. If you go on my website before January 30th, the day that it comes out, you can actually get a free 1-hour consultation with me. So to help you figure out kind of if you're feeling stuck. And you get free access to our app, which has over 100 hours of video library content, audiovisual stuff that we put together on navigating kids' emotions, getting a parenting partner on board, like a husband or, you know, partner if you have one, how to help in terms of getting yourself all that self-care that you really need. Mm-hmm. So lots of bonuses right now that are happening just as the book is about to come out.
Well, that's cool. I mean, for the hour consultation alone, you ought to get the book.
Because it's an audiobook and regular. So if you're a busy person and you're driving or commuting, that's a good way to do it too.
Right. Definitely. Don't read and drive.
No.
That's not an idea. But thank you so much for talking with me and for sharing some of this. Hopefully you've given people a little bit of a glimmer into how we can stop doing it all, but feel okay about it. And you guys go get the book. It's a really good book. You're going to want it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Okay. Well,